Thanks for listening to us on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm glad you're here with us. We obviously have a lot to talk about. Two bits of information yesterday, both about the Almeda fire in Jackson County, caused very different reactions. The first was the news that the fire was 100% contained. There'd been no growth in a few days, and now the remaining hotspots are no longer a concern. The other bit of information takes more processing power. The news that a search and rescue survey shows 2,357 homes destroyed by the Almeda fire, nearly four times the earlier estimate, and there is, of course, more counting to do. So on one count, the numbers of homes just gone from a tight housing market nearly quadruples. This is among the things we have to talk about today as we talk fire numbers, responses, rebuilding, and just stories. What have you seen? What have you felt? What do you need? What can you provide to someone in need? 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And let's begin with one particular aspect of evacuation, because most of us don't practice this. Nobody wants to think about their house being destroyed behind them, and so we don't tend to do much other than maybe get a few things together in one place and think we'll come back to get them. That's kind of what the situation was at the Riley household. But people can leave without things they need and discover in short order they need them, like prescription medications. So there are some things that can be done if you and your prescription bottles have been separated. Tanya Phillips is with Jackson County Health and Human Services and joins us by phone to talk about the situation. Tanya, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So if you have your prescription bottle, are you okay? Is that one place to start?
Oh, that's definitely one place to start. I would say right now we want to make it as easy as possible for people who may not even have that prescription bottle on them. And so really what is in place right now is that folks who don't have access to their prescriptions, it could be that they can't get back in their home. They no longer have their home. They lost their prescription in the evacuation process. So really what's in place is that people can get a 30-day emergency refill through their pharmacy.
Okay, and so how do they go about initiating that whole process? What are they going to need to provide?
No, pretty easy. I was actually someone who had to do this. So really, it's best if you can go to the pharmacy that you did get the original prescription through. They are going to have all of that information on there. Of course, some of those pharmacies have been impacted by the wildfires or fires in general. So really, if it's a chain pharmacy, you can go to another location. That's actually something that I had to do. I had to evacuate. I had to go to Grants Pass, and so I called the Grants Pass pharmacy, and they were able to get me a 30-day emergency refill on my prescription. And it was nice because, you know, the chain pharmacy, they had all of my information. They knew what I needed.
So the chain stores, the Rite Aids, the Bi-Marts, the Fred Meyers generally have a central system?
Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. So that made it really easy. I was personally, you know, impacted, so I appreciated that. If you are someone who goes to more of our local pharmacies and don't have that backup, you can reach out to other pharmacies and make that request, and they will reach out to your insurance, verify and bill it that way as well. If you're somebody who needs a little bit more help or has questions, such as if you're with Jackson Care Connect or All Care, they are making themselves available to help navigate that system for you. So there's definitely some supports out there. Also, Oregon Health Authority has pulled in some of their pharmacists to help with that navigation as well, especially for people who may not have health insurance or may need some discounts on some pharmaceuticals that they're getting prescribed. And so there is an email for that. It's oha.pharmacy@state.or.us.
OHA.pharmacy, was that?
Yep, dot pharmacy.
Okay, I'll work through this again because I'm typing while you're saying. Oh, so OHA dot pharmacy at
state dot or mm-hmm. dot us.
Okay, OHA dot pharmacy at state dot or dot us. Okay, and that'll get you started. But if you're walking around without email access at the moment, don't have your prescription, your pharmacy is not available to you, what's your option then?
Right now, we are working at developing a system to really help people who have been, who are sheltering at the expo, but also just to be more just have that resource for folks outside of that as well. So really looking at putting together somebody that can be seen in person and help send these emails, help provide the technology. So that's, we are working on that today.
Okay, so some gaps still in the system. If you got nothing, and as a local pharmacy, you got some issues potentially here.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, and to how long can the refill be for? I know some people like to get like a 90-day supply, particularly if they're on Medicare, which does bill quarterly.
Absolutely. Right now, it is a 30-day supply.
Mm-hmm. All right. And you mentioned, so if Oregon Healthcare folks, Oregon Health Plan folks, I should say, through AllCare and Jackson Care Connect, they should be referring, they should be calling those places?
They don't have to, but if they need, you know, lots of us, I don't always remember the names of the medication, like is it generic or, you know, name brand and what was that? So AllCare and Jackson Care Connect can help with that if that's who you were with. Also, they can help find a pharmacy. Also, the state email that I gave, if you're having a hard time finding a pharmacy, that is what they're there for as well, to help really connect those pieces. And I will hopefully, you know, soon that they'll have a phone number, too, for folks to call.
Okay. But at this point, oh, there it is, oha.pharmacy at state.or.us. Okay, it was already on the piece of paper in front of me. What do you know?
No worries.
Okay, and I'll put up the phone numbers for AllCare and Jackson Care Connect that you provided as well. Those will help. But so I'm sorry to hear that you had to go through this as well, but you got your meds and you're all set now?
Yeah, it was. I'm very thankful for the 30-day emergency and, you know, that the refill and that it went so smooth, because it was, when you're in the middle of that crisis, and, you know, I did it the next day, it provided a lot of relief. It was like, oh, I don't have to stress about this one.
one thing to take off the list, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So just from my experience, it went pretty smooth. The pharmacy was fantastic. They absolutely understood. They were getting numerous calls about this, so they were really prepared to handle it, and I was appreciative of that personally.
Okay, so so contact the pharmacy as best you can if the pharmacy is still standing, which I imagine a few actually got lost. I was surprised once again at the number of businesses in Phoenix and Talent that got destroyed by the fire, in addition to all the homes. So there might have been a pharmacy or two in there, I suppose. But if you can contact your pharmacy, or if it's a chain pharmacy, another store in that chain. Get you going. Okay. So, Tanya, anything else you want to add to what people can do to try to get prescriptions if they have left their prescriptions behind and can't get to them now?
No, I mean, I guess the only other one is definitely feel free to, if you have private insurance, call your insurance company. That's another resource. Of course, your medical provider as well should be able to assist you.
Okay. All those things are good advice. Tanya Phillips from Jackson County Health and Human Services, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Take care. Good to have you here. So this is the Jefferson Exchange. We are in the midst of fire emergencies still around the region, and want to hear what's going on in your life or what you would like to do to help other people in their lives as we recover from all of this. We are now 8 days in. The fires began for most of us on Tuesday, September 8th. It's now Wednesday, September 16th. And here we are trying to find it with both hands. We do have the major disaster declaration for Oregon. I have the FEMA release in front of me dated yesterday. FEMA announced that federal emergency aid has been made available to the state of Oregon to supplement state, tribal, and local recovery efforts in the areas affected by wildfires and straight-line winds beginning on September 7th, 2020. September 7th, 2020, yes, and continuing. So there are a couple different pots of federal money here, but this could include direct federal assistance through FEMA's public assistance program at 75% federal funding for, let's see, the counties in our region include Douglas, Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, Lake, Lane, and that'll take care of the counties in our region. Federal funding available on a cost-sharing basis for hazard mitigation measures statewide. So there is that coming. There is also a separate release coming from the Department of Transportation, the U.S. Department of Transportation, announcing the immediate availability of $5 million in quick release emergency relief funds to help the Oregon Department of Transportation repair infrastructure damage caused by wildfires, announced by Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao. Over 200 miles of Federal 8 highway system remain closed across the Cascade Mountains, limiting transportation between the Willamette Valley and Central Oregon. Those include the McKenzie River Highway, obviously, because we've got the Holiday Farm fire burning up there. Federal Highway Administrator Nicole Nason said today's funding represents a down payment on our federal commitment to ensuring highway infrastructure in Oregon is repaired following these devastating wildfires. The quick release funds go toward emergency repair work to reopen roads and replace damaged structures and traffic control devices. There's funding provided for highways and bridges damaged by natural disasters or catastrophic events. The funds were an initial installment of funds used to restore essential traffic and to limit further highway damage, which can help long-term repair work begin more quickly. So a couple of bits of federal help coming to the region to assist with fires. And it's been interesting to travel the freeway in recent days. I know I mentioned this last week already, but to watch the progression over the course of a couple of days now, traveling Interstate 5 between Ashland and Medford to see the places where first the guardrails along the freeway were sagging because the posts were still burning. Now that the posts have burned down to ash, there's nothing holding them in place. There's just the guardrail, the metal guardrail, and the bolts sticking out of the back. So these are the kinds of repairs we presume can be handled. Bridges as well might take some damage in some places. I don't know if you guys heard that the Bear Creek Greenway has closed between Ashland and Phoenix because of the damage to it. There have been some damages to bridges and things like that, and that happened just a couple of days ago. So that is closed as well. That was one resource that people were using when the roads were closed to be able to get from one part of Jackson County to the other by bike or on foot. And so that is not an option at the moment either. So what's going on in your life? Join us on The Exchange to talk about what's happening with you in the midst of fire land and what you're doing to try to help other people or to get help from other people, as the case may be. Share a story with us here on The Exchange. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. And I have some emails in the tank from yesterday. Let's see. Larry, doesn't say what town he's from, says the Slater fire has drawn our attention to Highway 199. When things calm down, how about having some geologists, natural resource types on your show to talk about the roadside geology of US 199, say from Kirby to Crescent City? The road is closed now from about O'Brien beyond Gasky, down to Hiuchi is the section of the road closed. And this is 199 is the Escape to the Coast road that takes you from Grants Pass down to Crescent City via Cave Junction and Hiuchi and Gasky and all those places, and closed down now because of the encroachment of the Slater fire. Larry goes on to say information about why the Illinois Valley seems so unique might surprise your listeners, along with a discussion about what makes the Smith River Canyon so beautiful, and then the coastal geology at and around Crescent City. So thanks for that recommendation from Larry to explore the region geologically in the future. I know we have all the serpentine soils in the Illinois Valley that make it hard for trees to grow in a lot of those areas. Like you look along Rough and Ready Creek, which is something that 199 crosses over south of Cave Junction. That's one area to take a look at the surroundings, which brings us to another email from Rose, no town given, but she says, I was very happy to finally hear O'Brien mentioned on the Jefferson Exchange yesterday. There's some further updated information on fires. No one can get past the 39-mile marker. That is a level 3 go evacuation. Most all above that, including the store, is evacuation level 2. And an infrared picture attached, she writes. This is what's available to us at the public. Please keep us up to date. Sincerely, Rose. Thank you for that, Rose. And the picture that she provided shows some things that earlier, they're a little more descriptive of what's been going on with the Slater fire, which is a big, nasty fire. There's no other way to say it. I know I've gotten in trouble before for referring to fires as ugly, but this has certainly caused a lot of human dislocation. As far as we know, it's burned 150 homes in Happy Camp, which some people were allowed back into yesterday. Syed Valley still evacuated. From O'Brien South evacuated. But I guess what I did not realize until I looked at the screenshot that Rose provided was how far north the fire has, in fact, crept. It has burned across Redwood Highway, not very far from the state line, and then there are fingers of the fire that extend even further north than Tacoma. So we have a burn into the Althouse Road area, southeast of Cave Junction, and other fingers of the fire that extend further north into Oregon, including about 2 miles away from the Oregon Caves. And I believe you've heard that item in the news in the segment before we got on here about what's been going on at the Oregon Caves. And they relayed some information to us about the fact that, of course, the caves are closed at the moment. The Oregon Caves National Monument and Preserve is closed to the public because of the Slater fire. As of 5 p.m. yesterday, the northern edge of the fire is about 2 miles southwest of the park and about 3 miles southwest of the Oregon Caves National Historic District. Outdoor sprinkler systems are in place on the Oregon Caves Chateau and Chalet to help protect against embers or other fire threats. And as a precaution, the park's museum collections have been taken out. They've been removed for storage to Redwood National and State Parks. Crews and bulldozers continue to put in primary fire protection lines. So that's what's going on at the Oregon Caves National Monument. Thank you to Rose for bringing that up. What's on your mind about the fires, particularly as we can talk in some depth now about the residential structures destroyed in Jackson County? A search and rescue operation went out and counted more carefully than previous eyeball estimates of destruction of homes, and where the official count had been 600 homes lost and 100 businesses lost, now we're looking at actually 2,357 residential structures. And I know reporters are still trying to parse what that means. Does this mean, for example, an apartment house, which would then have several more dwellings within it? So the number almost certainly going higher. We did get a chance to talk to Pam Marsh, State Representative Pam Marsh, yesterday, who had been walking around for a couple of days with the belief that there were at least 1,500 homes destroyed because of all the loss to the mobile home parks. And so now that we're seeing it's a bigger number than that, even by another 800 or so, that number will probably go higher still as we begin to look at multiple family dwelling structures. So 2,357 residential structures destroyed in Jackson County. That is a very big number. Let's hear your story. Have you had to evacuate? Are you in a safe place right now? Are you in the evacuation shelter at the Jackson County Expo Park? Is there enough room for all the people who need to get in there? Join us on the exchange to share a story, to offer some help to people, or just to discuss what's going on and where we move forward from here. 800-838-3760 is the phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Linda, no town given, writes under the headline, Foster Animal Care. I may have missed this, but is there information on facilities that are coordinating foster care for pets, both for needs and for folks that can volunteer? Thank you for that, Linda. I did notice that Facebook seems ablaze lately with information about foster pets and pets that were rescued from fire zones. And there's a fairly good-sized array of cats that look like they got a bit singed in the fires and got some bear skin and got some burns and wraps on their paws and things like that. Have been taken to various vet hospitals for treatment. Don't have a central place to go for that yet. If somebody does know of a place where we can talk about centralized pet care for folks in the Alameda fire or any of the other fires for that matter, give us a call. 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. Another email from, well, James wants to know about recorded shows, which, and I have to admit this has become a bit of an issue of late because since we changed the website over a few months ago, the ability to click on the play button and then right-click for download doesn't work on this website. So there are certain places you have to go to be able to download our information as podcasts, and I'll see if I can make that easier for folks in the days to come. And I want to send this off to my other email account so I can deal with this. But we do have some issues with the website in trying to get people to be able to download our audio. Now, it's all there on the web. I will say that much. So if you just go to the website, you can find all of the shows we have recorded. It's been a little odd of late because we've been structuring things so differently with the actual content of the show that we have multiple files, there was a Freudian slip, multiple files to put out. And if I don't put at least one in the heading of the web posting, it doesn't end up showing up easily on the web. So you got to go into the body copy of the item to look for it. But I'm going off on tangents here. But yes, you can still get our audio on the website any old time. Email from Hillary, looking for information regarding the status of the boil water advisories for Talent specifically and for the larger area in general. I'm hearing conflicting reports and the city of Talent has not updated its website yet. Information we were given as of yesterday indicated that since the city hasn't changed anything, nothing has changed. So it is still a boil water advisory. Bring it to a boil, let it boil for a minute, store it for a while. Let it cool, obviously, and then you can use it for whatever you need to use it for. We had that question a couple of days ago from somebody saying, is it safe to take a shower or a bath in the water if the water can make you sick? And the answer that I got from a medical website was no, because that stuff will get in your mouth and your eyes and your other body orifices and can potentially make you sick that way as well. Don't know what it's going to take. The mayor of Talent was on 2 days ago talking about needing to flush the system once again, but at this moment, the boil water advisory remains in effect. Much more to talk about with fires in the region and relief efforts as well. You can certainly join the conversation on the exchange. Add information here, 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. We're back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute and a half. So back to the Almeda fire, which was declared contained yesterday, and here again, since it ceased to be a rural wildfire several days ago and became an urban fire on Tuesday last, it seemed like the idea of containment was not really much of an issue because most of the destruction had already been done. But official containment came down yesterday on the Almeda fire, so it is not considered an active fire anymore. Some mop-up going on. The management teams that had come from outside the area have departed as of yesterday morning and turned control back over to the local agencies. So now comes the process of letting people back in, and there have been some changes in road access and the narrowing of the evacuation zones. The level 3 zone pretty much just takes up the area that has burned in Phoenix and Talent at this point, which is generally in the Bear Creek bottomland between Interstate 5 and Talent Avenue. Now, there are some neighborhoods open in there as well, and they did move, the state highway folks did move the roadblocks north yesterday. Going north on 99 out of Ashland, you had to either turn around and go back to Ashland or get on the freeway because the roads were blocked, or Highway 99 was blocked at Valley View Road, which is the road that leads up to the freeway interchange. That roadblock has been moved north to Talent Avenue, so people can now drive as far north as Talent Avenue, go up the hill, and get into downtown Talent. But there are still some roadblocks to areas that burned. There's a lot of heavy damage in Talent, north particularly of Arnos Road, and especially heavy damage north of Rapp Road, in both cases, generally east of Talent Avenue, so toward Highway 99 from Talent Avenue. Highway 99 sustained a lot of damage itself. And as we've been talking about this morning, somewhere between 2,300 and 2,400 confirmed dwellings lost so far. And that number could indeed go higher in subsequent counts. We did report separately in our newscasts about Jared Bacala, indicted by a grand jury yesterday in Jackson County for setting a fire in Phoenix as the Almeda fire burned. We've had to wrestle with the wording of this just a bit because we want to make it clear that Jared Bacala is not accused of starting the Almeda fire. He is accused of starting fires while the Almeda fire was already burning. And so this happened on Tuesday night on September 8th in Phoenix. He is charged with arson, criminal mischief, and reckless endangerment, and there's also possession of methamphetamine charge. He's being held on $5 million bail. But it is pointed out again by the authorities that the Almeida fire investigation, the source of the Almeida fire, still being looked at, don't have an answer at this point to say who or what got that fire going. It was certainly human-caused, and human-caused can mean everything from somebody stubbing out a cigarette in the grass to somebody parking their car over dry grass to a power line falling down because a tree fell on it. I believe that's considered human-caused because the power lines are there because humans put them there. It's not lightning. We know that much. There was no lightning involved here, so there's that. But so just to make it clear, Jared Bacala does face an arson charge for fires during the Almeida fire, but not for starting the actual Almeida fire itself. We have some more information coming in here. I'm trying to look here, read on the fly here. Suzanne Willow wants to catch us up on some stuff. From Southern Oregon University, an email from Greg Perkinson, forwarded from John Baxter, a senior producer, is pointing out that since last Tuesday's Almeida fire, we've been managing our personal safety, that of our families, and the aftermath of the fire in our surrounding communities. As a supportive response to the fires and the smoke, Southern Oregon University has been offering a daytime shelter to give people respite and relief from the hazardous conditions outside. Starting Thursday, September 17th, that's tomorrow, shifting the respite center from where it was at the Lithia Motors Pavilion to the Rogue River Room in Stevenson Union. Danielle Mancuso and her team in the Stevenson Union taking the lead in managing the center, but need volunteers to ensure that we have the capacity to offer this space for as long as there is a need. And the need, again, as we talked about yesterday, is just the need for people to get out of the smoke and the heat and just not have to deal with all of what's going on outside. So we have a request for volunteers to sign up on the SIU campus for shifts of 4 hours each to be able to staff the respite center starting tomorrow at the Rogue River Room at Stevenson Union at Southern Oregon University. So there is that going on. And if you have stuff going on in terms of shelter, if you have new places to offer for people to stay, or have already been in these situations, let's hear from you about what's going on here. I'm curious to know about what the situation is with people seeking places to stay. Let me go down the list. It's been a while since we've talked about the fires themselves, and I noticed that that the list has actually narrowed somewhat in Oregon for the last couple of days. I keep forgetting to give this at the beginning of each show, but wildfire.oregon.gov is an excellent resource. Wildfire.oregon.gov offers under the heading Wildfire Resources, Current Conditions, Office of Emergency Management, Fires and Hotspots Dashboard. And this is a map that shows fires not just in Oregon, but all over the West. And, well, I haven't bothered to look that far east, but fires, wow, all the way back to, what state is that? That's Nebraska. Okay, we have fires all over the West, that is for sure. But one of the things that has narrowed in Oregon is that the list is shorter. We mentioned the Almeida fire considered contained, so probably not considered an active fire anymore. So the list was 36 a couple of days ago, 29 active fires right now with 843,000 acres burned. And we have already talked about the Almeida fire being not much of a factor in Jackson County anymore. The South Obenchain fire, less of a factor over time, but it is still keeping some people out of some parts of Jackson County. The west side of the fire pretty much stalled out a bit short of the Rogue River a couple of days ago, and it was at that point on Monday evening that it was announced that Shady Cove and Trail would drop down from level 3 go to level 2 get set so that people could get back into Shady Cove and Trail and Highway 62 could reopen through the area. That's Crater Lake Highway. But elsewhere on the other side of the South Obenchain fire, which is roughly running, let's say, northwest to southeast, so it is definitely wider than it is tall if you're looking at it on a map, it still is a threat to the town of Butte Falls, which remains under evacuation. So we've still got Butte Falls under evacuation. What was that thing I just saw a moment ago? But the change in evacuation status. I'm checking multiple devices as we talk here. But according to the Klamath National Forest, Syed Valley is only an evacuation warning at this point. So there is that. Lots of different stuff going on around the region. Let me come back to the South Obenchain fire. 32,000 acres, 20% contained, and so hasn't moved much in the last couple of days, which is good. The wind has not kicked up again. I know I felt a little bit of a breeze in my face yesterday, and frankly, I get the heebie-jeebies from breezes in my face now, because anybody who lived through those winds that started on the night of Labor Day, and we're talking banging doors and windows at 2 o'clock in the morning, which is highly unusual in the warm season around here. And so we were dealing with that whole situation, and so that helped fan the fires and keep things moving here. Looking for more emails here. These are not emails relative to what we're talking about today, so let me just take them out. Let's catch up on the Slater and Devil fire, an evening update from last night. So as of 6 o'clock this morning, the northern portion of the Slater and Devil fire, this includes Gaske and all of Oregon, will be managed by Northern Rockies Team 2. The southern portion of the fire will continue to be managed by Team 10. Information for both fires available online, primarily through Facebook. If you look on Facebook, Slater and Devil fire information, and on INCIWEB, inciweb.nwcg.gov, you're looking for Slater and Devil Fire. Slater Fire operations on the Oregon side were able to capitalize on another day under a heavy smoke inversion to build and strengthen direct fire line to protect structures in and around the Illinois Valley. A note to Level 3 evacuees, we're working hard to get you back into your homes. We ask for your patience as we work to ensure your safety. Northern Rockies Team 2 will continue to work shoulder to shoulder with local fire, state, and federal firefighting resources to fight the area, the north area of the Slater Devil Fire. And again, evacuations available at Josephine County Emergency Management Facebook page. Let me add to that information that came out of the Josephine County Sheriff's Office yesterday afternoon about the Sheriff's Office requesting the assistance of the Oregon National Guard for traffic control for the Slater Fire, currently threatening many residences in the Illinois Valley. Today, September 16th, the National Guard will begin establishing traffic control points on the roads entering the Level 3 and sections of the Level 2 evacuation areas for the Slater Fire. These traffic control points will assist those with homes in the area, the authorized firefighting personnel, and your sheriff's office by keeping unauthorized vehicle traffic from entering the area. By preventing unnecessary vehicle traffic on the roads, this will allow easier access for those evacuating to leave the area and firefighting personnel to travel where needed. This decreased vehicular traffic will help to ensure both life safety and protection of property. Still reading again from Sheriff Dave Daniel from the Josephine County Sheriff's Office. Those who have chosen to stay in the evacuation area of the Slater Fire will need to travel with photo identification listing residency. If that identification does not have a current address, citizens will need to have a document showing proof of residency in addition to identification in order to pass through the traffic control points. We would ask that you use the traffic control point closest to your residence, i.e. if you live on Dick George Road, then please use the Dick George Road traffic control point. If you live in the Level 3 evacuation area and request help from a friend in moving livestock or property out of the evacuation area, you will need to personally meet your friend at the traffic control point to assist them in getting through. Those who are coming to assist will also need to provide photo identification. We would like to thank the residents of the Illinois Valley for their understanding during this difficult and uncertain event. We would also like to thank the members of the Oregon National Guard who've left their families and jobs to come and assist their neighbors here in Southern Oregon. That from Sheriff Dave Daniels. So National Guard folks in Josephine County in the Illinois Valley helping with traffic control for the Slater and Devil Fire. What have you seen? What have you experienced? How different is your life this week from what it was like over Labor Day weekend, or let's say before Labor Day weekend, because it's been since that time that things have gone basically haywire around the region? You can join us on the exchange. We need to talk. We've been through a shared trauma together, and we'd like to hear what your impressions are of where things are and where they appear to be going. 800-838-3760 is the phone number on the exchange, 800-838-3760. Or you can send emails to jx@jeffnet.org. So I took a sideline on the National Guard response with the Slater fire from talking about the Oregon area. Let me continue with the Slater and Devil fire update from yesterday evening. And the Gaske area firefighters continue to prepare and hold the Canopy Creek Road to protect the town of Gaske. Firefighters began to prepare contingency lines to help control the fire's spread south and west after the fire got established west of Highway 199 near the state line. And that was something that showed up in that image that was provided earlier by Rose. Thank you for that, Rose. In the Happy Camp area, the Slater Fire moved very slowly today but did put up a column of smoke along its northeast edge. Structure protection on the Highway 96 corridor upriver of Happy Camp continued while a handful of firefighters built direct fire line along the eastern edge of the Devil Fire today. Mop-up continued today in Happy Camp where fire lines are secure. Most evacuation orders there have been changed to evacuation advisories while Pacific Power was able to restore power to the town today, meaning yesterday. Now, we have not talked very much at all, particularly on this program, about the Fox Fire. That was announced by the Klamath National Forest yesterday. A new fire start that apparently started on Monday at 10 acres and had gotten up to 100 acres by yesterday in the Trinity Alps Wilderness on the Salmon Scott Ranger District. The estimate around 100 acres. Incident Management Team 10 will lend resources from the Slater Fire South Zone. So, you got the Slater Fire at 137,000 acres burning on both sides of the state line. The Devil Fire at 5,459 acres. And I think they'd said recently they don't have any people actually on the Devil Fire at this point. And then trying to divert resources from the Slater Fire crews off to the new Fox Fire in the Trinity Alps Wilderness, which came with a warning from the Klamath National Forest that since there's no lightning in the area, this was human-caused as well. And people need to be really careful about bringing anything hot or sparky in contact with anything out there in nature that is dry, which is pretty much everything. Let me finish up the Slater and Devil Fire information. The evacuation orders remain in effect for a few neighborhoods in Happy Camp where downed power lines and hazardous materials remain a concern. Evacuation warnings are still in place for most of Happy Camp, including Elk Creek Road, for Syed Valley along Highway 96, as well as for Gaske, Hiuchi, and Big Flat. And the Oregon evacuation orders are a level 3 go for O'Brien and Tequilma areas, Dick George Road, including most of Holland Loop, and the Tequilma Road areas, Brown Road, O'Brien, and areas south of Brown Road in O'Brien. Evacuation warnings in effect for Gaske in California. Hiuchi and Big Flat on Level 1 get ready. Level 2 get set in effect south of Kirby and Cave Junction areas in Oregon. And as I mentioned previously, the Oregon Caves National Monument is closed to the public. You can't get in there. The fire about 3 miles away from the historic district. But just in case, the folks at the Oregon National Monument and Preserve have taken the historical artifacts out of the museum there and moved those to the Redwood National Parks in California to make sure that there was no damage to those collections. An email here from Joy in Talent, recognize that name. She says, if every single property owner with unused livable space would make it available to our newly homeless community, the South Valley is full of large single-family houses with one or two people. Websites for Airbnbs and vacation rentals are full of residences, rooms, and a variety of two adorable RVs and cottages. Giving away your old clothes or a $100 donation isn't enough in this situation. Cleanup and replacement of more than 2,000 homes, even with temporary shelter, will take time. Real gratitude isn't expressed with words. It is shown through action and sacrifice, writes, she calls herself Deb in Talent. So what do you say? Do you have usable living space on your property that you are not using very much? Is there a chance you could divert part of your house to turning it into a dwelling for somebody else? We're going to need a lot of living space. The general vacancy rate in the Rogue Valley housing market was something like 1%, which is almost nothing. That drives up the rent costs. It drives down the availability. It just makes even the places that aren't in the best of shape and somewhat sketchy, perhaps, cost a lot. And so now we've lost 2,300 homes plus all at once, and are going to need a whole lot of living space to be restored all at once. And you can help with that process. Join us on the exchange to talk about that, 800-838-3760 by phone, 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let me see what else I have in the piles here. Let's see. The Bratton Fire has been a cause of concern as well. This is out in Lake County, has resulted in the evacuation of Paisley. And so level 3 evacuation for all of Paisley, All of Clover Flat Road from the intersection with Highway 31 south of Valley Falls, west of Highway 31 to Forest Road 28. As we talked to the folks at the Bratton Fire yesterday, they were telling us that it was still a good 30 to 40 minutes perhaps out of Lakeview, so a good bit of distance away there. The numbers as of the moment, 40,000 acres plus 17% contained, which is slow growth in containment. But there are erratic winds in the region. The latest report we have from Tamara Schmidt at the Fremont Wyneema National Forest is that the fire is active on both the north and south ends due to erratic winds. If you don't need to be in the area, please leave now. Highway 31 in that part of Lake County is open, but be prepared for traffic congestions, delays, and increased fire traffic. Please use caution driving in the area. The Red Cross has an evacuation center set up at the Lake County Fairgrounds in Lakeview, 1900 North 4th Street. There is fire information there as well. Also on the pile of responses to the immediate emergency, Pacific Power reported as of 6 o'clock last night, it's still making progress restoring power to hard-hit areas in the region. Electric service is coming back for customers across the region as more than 500 Pacific Power employees and contractors are at work repairing equipment and jump-starting community recovery from Lincoln City to Glide to Happy Camp. As of 6 p.m. Tuesday, approximately 5,500 customers remain without service in Oregon and Northern California. At peak a week ago, more than 60,000 were without power. David Lucas, Vice President of Operations at Pacific Power, says this has been a tremendously trying week for all our customers affected by this unparalleled disaster. Communities with the largest number of customers without power include the Medford area at 3,100 customers, Happy Camp at about 300 customers, and Glide, Umpqua Canyon, about 500 customers still without power as of yesterday. A phone call here from Vince. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hello there. Yeah, I was just relating to your screener about what happened to me 6 days ago. I was at my pharmacy. You had a speaker on earlier talking about trying to get your medications, picking up a prescription from a Rite Aid in Eugene, and the pharmacist said they just got an alert for a level 2 evacuation. And I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, I have had no prior information in the newspapers. On your website, I think, would be helpful. The city and county could put out things like what to pack in advance. She said, go home and pack a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Pack a bag of what and go where? I mean, you know, we figured it out over the last 5 days. You know, we have a bag for our legal documents, a suitcase full of medications. But if a pharmacy burns down, that's one thing. But most of us seniors get their medication through mail order. Where do you get your prescriptions? I'd like to have a speaker come on and talk from one of the insurance companies, medication insurance companies like OptumRx or Humana, and say, how do you pick up your medication when you don't have a mailbox anymore?
Right.
I got home from the pharmacy, and about a half an hour later, there was a knock on our door, and it was two of our friends from the Glide area showing up with a suitcase and two dogs and asking if they could stay with us. So, of course, we accommodated them, but then we were trying to help them find a hotel where they could get a room. It took them 2 days to find a hotel here in Eugene, that far away from the Happy Valley fires and the fires by their business and their home in the Glide area.
Okay, Vince, you bring up some good points here, particularly about the mailed prescriptions and the issues with letting people know exactly what is expected of them at various levels of evacuation. And, of course, the evacuation announcements themselves have been an issue. We will get into this further. This is the end of Hour 1 on the Jefferson Exchange. Hour 2 coming up.